Hello, welcome to another episode of the Hope Not Hate podcast. My name is Nick Spooner. And at Hope Not Hate, much of our work is only possible because of the amazing backing that we receive from our supporters. You know, there are those supporters who chip in every month through the Hope Action Fund. And then there are those who contribute throughout the year to our various fundraisers that we run during specific times. However, there are also supporters who set up their own fundraising projects to raise money for the anti-fascist cause. And I am delighted to say that one of them has joined me today on the podcast to talk about a very special music-based fundraising campaign that's set to launch next week to raise money for Hope Not Hate. And it's a great pleasure to be joined by Paul Mapps, who's editor of Joyzine, an independent online magazine. Would you call it an online magazine, Paul?
Yeah, online magazine, zine, blog, whatever takes your fancy.
And it covers the world of independent music, film, books, art, and theatre. There's a load on there. It's really, really fantastic. Paul, welcome to the Hope Not Hate podcast. It's great to have you on.
Oh, thank you, Nick. It's lovely to be here.
And I just want to say from all everyone at Hope Not Hate, thank you so much for what you're doing. It's very, very cool. I'm looking forward to getting into it with you and finding out about, you know, all the events that are coming up. But there's a lot of exciting things going on. So thank you. How are you? I imagine you're quite busy at the moment.
Yeah, well, same as always, I think. Yeah. When you do something like this, it's always in your spare time on top of the day job and everything else. So yeah, I'm lucky to have a good group of people around me who are also willing to give up every sort of spare moment they have to shout about music that they love.
Well, let's get straight into it then. Let's talk about Joyzine. So how did Joyzine begin and how long has it been running for?
Yeah, well, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary this month.
Amazing. In fact.
And it kind of came, as with, I guess, a lot of these sorts of things that end up becoming, you know, a big part of your life. It started off because I was bored. I'd finished university, discovered that the degree I got wasn't going to give me the dream job that I'd anticipated. And I was working part-time in my local leisure centre doing whatever shifts. So I was a five-a-side football referee. I was a trampoline lesson spotter.
Wow.
I was the person pretending to drown in lifeguarding exams. And that was
big CV. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't really fulfilling my needs in in the way I would have liked it to. So I thought, you know, this was back in 2001. I thought, yeah, that internet thing seems like it's going to take off. So I thought I'd, you know, learn how to make websites. And the obvious thing for me to do was to make a page about some bands that I liked, and that kind of developed over time to the point where people started asking me, will you write about, you know, the new release that I've got coming out? And so at that point I felt it needed to be a bit of a, you know, a more slightly slicker looking operation than we had before, and Joyzine was born out of that. And it's kind of grown gradually over the last 20 years. More people have got involved, and we've now got a team of, you know, well, maybe a dozen or so regular and a few other occasional contributors writing about all sorts of music, the likes of which, you know, I'd never imagined would be on the site when I started out writing about a few little indie bands.
Well, I was going to ask, because a lot of the time zines, you know, things like Joyzine, and they originate within a specific scene, don't they? So it was indie the scene that really captured your imagination from a young age then? Is that where Joyzine originated?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was in my teens when Britpop was happening, so that was very much, you know, what I grew up with, and the music that I really loved, you know, as a teenager going into my 20s. And but yeah, over time, you know, my tastes have expanded, but more so having more people involved with it. We now get, you know, people that are into the heavier kind of, you know, slightly more metal end of things. We've got people who are into the more experimental, weird, squelchy noise things, and people who are more interested in, you know, music from all around the world. So my deputy editor, Paul Cook's really into music from, well, all sorts of places that, you wouldn't imagine that they'd be making, you know, punk music in, you know, in Sudan and various other places like that. So he's a real far more than I am, he's a real kind of explorer of sounds and places, and that's helped to broaden my musical horizons as well, which has been
great having people like that in your life, isn't it, who just throw new things in front of you and see how you get on with it. Has it always been volunteer led then? So it's totally volunteer.
Yeah, and advert free as well. It doesn't generate any money at all. I've always been of the view that I've already got one job, but I don't want a second one. And once you bring in the advertising or paid for content and things like that run on some sites, then there are compromises that then have to be made in terms of the design of the site, in terms of what you can and can't write about, when you want, what you can say about it as well, depending on who's providing the money for things. So
definitely.
So yeah, so we like to keep our independence and do things the way that we want to do it when we want to do it.
Well, I like that attitude. That's a good attitude to have. What role does activism play in Joyzine then? Because this isn't your first fundraiser, is it, for an organisation, for a campaign? So do you think, is activism and Joyzine, are they very, very intrinsically linked? And has that always been there from the beginning of the foundation of the magazine?
Not from the very beginning. It's kind of crept in over time. Our first charity event that we did was back in 2004, after the Asian tsunami, and I happened to be out with a friend. We'd seen the news and we were seeing everything that was happening. We thought, this is really terrible, what can we do? And we thought, well, about the only thing that we can do that might be of any use is to raise some money through some gigs. So we put on a week of gigs for a charity called Tsunami Relief. That included selling out the 100 Club on Oxford
Amazing.
Street, amazing, with Art Brute headlining. We did an all-dayer at the Windmill in Brixton, which has since become the place to go for live music in South London.
I played a show there once, long time ago.
Yeah, it's a fantastic place.
Still
go there regularly. Block Party, who were a band that we'd promoted a lot when they were kind of playing to about as many people as are on this call. they were just becoming massive, and they had an in store at the Virgin Megastore on Oxford Street. Passed the hat around and raised this load of money. I think we raised, getting on for, I think it was just under £10,000 in total over the course of the week, which was amazing. We've done all sorts of fundraising. I think it links in with the not taking money for running the site side of things. So when we do gigs, the vast majority of the time they've been for a specific cause, and some of them are, we've done charities related to more medical things. My granddad's had Parkinson's, so we did something for Parkinson's UK. But we've also done things for causes like refuge and various others are more linked to I guess slightly more activism side of things as well. And I think just through the bands that we've covered as well, we've a lot of the bands that we cover have a very, very strong political identity, and so that's crept through into the coverage. So we do an occasional feature which is called State of the Nation, which is kind of a more politically based thing where we ask bands a few questions about a topic that's of particular interest to them as a band, and get them to give a bit of a taste of what the current political state of whichever country they happen to be in. It started out as a UK thing, mostly around Brexit, actually. That was when that article really took off. But we've had bands from Australia, we've had bands from the States, we've had a band from Germany as well, to get kind of perspectives on how a lot of the issues that are impacting in the UK, how they're seen from other countries as well.
What about for you then? Because I think for some people, not everybody, but for I suppose for a fair amount of people, music provides a kind of a way into activism, doesn't it? It's a kind of way to helps to shape a critical perspective on the world. I know it had that impact on me growing up. Is that something that happened to you when you were getting into music as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think, as I said, sort of Britpop was my teenage era, and it wasn't an especially political musical movement, so that's come, I guess, as I've got older, I've got a lot more into some of the kind of punkier side of things, a lot of post-punk and stuff, and bands who are willing to speak out and make music on political subjects. And yeah, that's fed into that. And you know, and the people that I've met through music as well, you know, some of those have been you know, a lot more clue, you know, keyed into political issues than I maybe was when I started out. So I particularly give a shout out to Kathy St. Luce over at Rocklands and the Zine UK, who is yeah, both a wonderful promoter of music, but also somebody who cares a lot about, you know, a huge range of issues, and gets in, you know, she definitely makes sure she gets involved in that side of things as well.
I need to check that zine out. That sounds very interesting. Let's talk a little bit about the birthday weekend though, because that's coming up. That's next weekend, isn't it? And it's
19th and 20th of August.
19th and 20th. So first of all, congratulations on the milestone. 20
Thank
years.
you.
It's a fantastic achievement. You obviously you're fundraising for Hope Not Hate, and we're, as I said at the top of the show, extremely grateful for that. What made you choose Hope Not Hate specifically?
Yeah, well, it was a group decision. So yeah, we've got a small editorial team, four of us. So Paul, who I mentioned earlier, and Johan, who's over in South Wales, and H, who is she's up in Sheffield. So we had a, you know, a little get together to have a, you know, have a bit of a think about causes we might want to support. Came up with a short list and put it out to all of our contributors, all of our writers and photographers, and yeah, Hope Not Hate definitely came out heads and shoulders above in terms of the voting on that. I think, yeah, the timing of it helped. It was around the time that, you know, Suella Braverman was in the news a lot, talking about sending migrants to Rwanda and all the other you know, things that were coming out at the at that time from the government. And for me as well, on a more personal level, we've had turning points have been showing up at the pub at the end of our road for the last 5 months in a row to try and you know, pressure our local pub to stop doing their drag storytelling hour. So yes, I've been, I guess, having it right on your doorstep like that really brings things home as well.
Shapes your perspective a bit, doesn't it? Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the fundraiser. So next weekend you've got these gigs. What's happening? Where are they? First of all,
So they're
where
at.
if our supporters are listening in London, where do they need to go to?
So they need to go to New Cross, which is kind of, yeah, an important place for us. It's kind of where we, although it wasn't where I was living at the time, it was where a lot of the music that we were covering in the early years of Joyzine was happening. At a particularly at a place called the Paradise Bar, which has sadly since shut down. There's now a gastro pub. But we're going to
It's
be
gone the way of
at.
so many other music venues around the country. Yeah.
Yeah, or at least it's a, yeah, at least it's a pub rather than a block of flats or something.
That's
So,
true. Yeah.
but
Sorry, I
yeah.
cut you up there. You were talking about the first gig, which was in New Cross.
Yes, so this event that we've got coming up on the 19th and 20th of August, it's going to be at a venue called the Old Library, which is in a complex called Music Room London, which incorporates practice rooms and equipment hire and all sorts of other stuff. So it's a great resource for up and coming bands in the area as well. So we'll be running an indoor main stage and, weather permitting, an outdoor garden stage as well. Although we can move that into the bar if the heavens open on us. There'll be six bands performing each day. And yeah, really excited by the lineup. We've got a fantastic, good range of bands. So headlining on the Saturday, we've got Piney Gear, who is one of the people we've been writing about probably longer. I think our first article on her music was, I think, something like October 2003 or something like that. And she's still going strong.
You go way back to the beginning of the
Oh,
foundation of the whole zine.
yeah.
Yeah.
And she's yeah, she's one of those just ever evolving musicians. She's gone from doing, you know, kind of all sorts. I mean, She had a band at one point called the Pinegar Country Road Show, where she was in massive petticoats playing an accordion. She's done some real kind of, sort of cool minimalist electro stuff over the time. She's done real kind of, full-on indie pop stuff, and her more recent stuff's been a bit darker and more psychedelic as well. So we're delighted to have her playing that day. It would have seemed wrong to do it without her, I think. And then De Furias, who are a fantastic, really politically active band as well. Fantastic post-punk band. They're on Extra Mile Records, which is a fantastic label that has had, I think, Frank Turner, Chris Titi, and various others. So quite a strong kind of political backbone to the label as well. And then one of the newer bands on the band called Dead Patrons, who have been around, I think, about maybe just over a year now, but feature various members of bands that we've been covering for longer than that. And again, really, they're also featuring on the compilation that we'll be talking about in a short while, I'm
Gonna ask you
sure,
about that,
with a
definitely.
really fantastic Joy Division cover, and I think their sound links in really nicely with that as a good reference point. And then on the Garden stage, we have Hurtling, who are normally amazing sort of alt rock, post-rocky kind of band who I love immensely. They're doing a stripped back version though, which I'm really excited to hear because unfortunately their drummer's not available that day, so they've reworked their set specifically for us to be done as a two-piece.
Amazing.
They're a brilliant band. Jen, who's their singer and guitarist, is in the live band for My Bloody Valentine, which gives you an idea of the sort of level of musicianship that we're talking
Wow.
about. In fact, Piney, who's headlining the main stage, does she's also in a backing vocal trio and sings with Noel Gallagher and Gaz Coombs as well. So we've got some really kind of
Wow, got some
top-notch musicians
definitely.
amongst the lineup. And then we have MJ Hibbert, who is a kind of legend on the indie scene. It's just fantastic sort of storyteller. His songs are full of humor, but really kind of emotive as well. And he's another person that we've been writing about a long, long time. And then Gabby Garbutt is going to be opening up. She's a kind of, I think, best describes almost like a sort of a punk poet. She's played a lot of gigs with the Libertines and various bands that have shot out of the Libertines over the years as well. We're delighted to have her opening up. So
Sounds very
that's
exciting. So
and that's only half of
that's only
it.
half of it. So there's a second day, isn't there, on the Sunday? Who else is playing on that day?
Yes, so Sunday, 20th of August, we've got Masker, who are coming over from Bristol for us. Their singer guitarist also occasionally in the live band for Idols when one of them's off on paternity leave. We've got
So
Breakup
who's who of the UK post-punk scene, isn't it, this
it's
weekend?
it. Breakup Haircut, fantastic kind of pop punk band from London. I Doris, whose singer Cassie is also runs Loud Women, which is a fantastic site and promoter people should really check out. And then on the Garden, we've got Tiny in the Tears, which is Tiny from Ultrasound's new project. Stephen Evans, another musician who's played with all sorts of people from Graham Coxon to the Damned. And Garden Centre, who just does amazing kind of eccentric, odd pop sorts of things. So yeah, really looking forward to all of those.
So let's talk about the compilation album quickly, and because I think that's I'm very excited to hear that. Personally, I think it's you sent me through a list of some of the bands that are on there. I saw McCluskey on there. Is that the actual McCluskey?
Is the actual McCluskey,
That is
yes.
very exciting indeed. So I'm looking forward to hearing that. Can you give us a bit of a flavour of what else is on there? Are there any standout tracks on there for you? Anything that
Yeah,
really
well, I mean, the first, because it's we I sent a message out to some bands thinking, maybe we'll get enough for an EP at a stretch, maybe we'll do a full album. And then we've had over 60 bands saying that they'd like to give us an exclusive track. So
incredible.
It's ended up going from one album to a series of four now. So so the first one is going to be released to coincide with the gigs at the old library, then we'll be releasing a few more over the course of the next 12 months. So you're gonna have to wait for McCluskey, I'm afraid. They're gonna possibly on the October release, but they haven't recorded the song yet, so I'm gonna have to wait and see when it's ready for. But the one that we have coming up in August, I'm really excited. We've got an exclusive track from Deerhoof, who are one of my absolute favorites, really amazing kind of experimental indie band from San Francisco, who've got a huge following, very very influential on a lot of household name bands as well. We've got tracks from several of the bands that are playing over the course of our weekend as well. We've got Tiny in the Tears, which is the singer from Ultrasound, who were one of the bands that I loved growing up. They played the other stage at Glastonbury, and regulars on Jules Holland and all that sort of thing back in the day. So he's done us an exclusive track as well. We've got David Devons and his Spirit Wife are doing us an exclusive track. We've got Gemma Freeman and the Cosmic Something, who are superb bands, who were going to be playing one of the other shows in our 20th anniversary celebrations. And also, I could go on. We've got 20 tracks on the first compilation, so there's going to be plenty to keep you going. And that's all going to be released both as a digital download, but also as a limited edition birthday card. To link in with the whole theme of things.
Amazing.
So we're having artwork for that designed by Finn Kidd, who was a drummer in Klaxons and also plays in Hatcham Social, who have a track on the compilation as well.
So no physical release, just it's going to be digital.
Yeah. And no physical actual thing you can play music off, but you do get a lovely birthday card, which you can keep for yourself or give to a loved one.
That sounds great. And what else? There's some other events going on, aren't there? There's one in Wales, am I right in saying?
Yes, yeah. So we've got the weekend on the 19th and 20th in New Cross. Then we're at the Lexington in Islington, which is in September on the, let me just make sure I'm giving you the right date, on the 16th, which is a co-promotion with our friends The Fades, which is where Gemma Freeman and the Cosmic Something will be playing as well. We're going to be doing a couple of joint promotions with two other blogs who are also celebrating 20 years as well. So God Is In The TV, who are based in Wales, are doing a 20th anniversary show there, which we're helping them out with. And that's going to be at the Gate Arts Centre in Cardiff on the 30th of September. And we've got Adwaith headlining that, which I'm really excited about. They're an absolutely fantastic band. I think they won the Welsh Music Prize recently as well, so definitely one to check out for if you're able to get to Cardiff on the 30th of September. And then we're back in New Cross for a show with our friends at Rocklands, who I mentioned earlier, which God's in the TV are also helping out with as well. That's going to be at the Amersham Arms on the 26th of October, and we've got Bug Eye, Feral Five, and Colossus playing that one with. More still to be announced.
Where can people find out more information? Is it on the website, on the social media?
Yeah, so our website is www.joyzine.org. So everything's up on there. We're also on Facebook, which is just facebook.com/joyzine. We're on Instagram and Twitter as @joyzineuk, because there is also a Swedish joyzine, which has popped up.
Are you
up
related or...?
No, we just happened to strangely come up with the same name for our website. Hello to our friends in Sweden.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got some good comrades in Sweden who we work with quite regularly, so they'll be pleased to hear that. Before we wrap up, I just want to get your take on a few things. First of all, what's the rest of the year got in store beyond this? Is there anything else big that you're working on? Any other things that you want to plug?
Yeah, well, I mean, not for a good while yet, but one of our big things that we've been doing for this will be the 20th edition of is our online advent calendar. So as far as we're aware, it's the first ever one on the internet. But what will be happening from the 1st of December is every single day we'll open up a new window on the website, and there'll be a free track to download from one of our favorite bands. And
Brilliant.
that's something we always do for free. We don't require people to sign up for any mailing lists or anything. It's our Christmas gift to the world. But we do ask if people enjoy the tracks that they make a donation to our chosen cause, which obviously this year is going to be Hope Not Hate.
That is a lovely idea.
Yeah,
That's
and
a really lovely idea.
there'll be a few versions of possibly unrecognizable versions of some Christmas classics amongst them as well.
Well, that's one of the fun things about that time of year. You get all these bizarre covers that come out of the woodwork, and I always love listening to them. So I'm looking forward to check that out. What let's give our Hope Not Hate listeners a few Paul Maps hot takes then before we log off. What who's your favourite musical artist? Have you got one?
Oh, now that is a difficult one. Well, I mean, I guess there's one band who I have become kind of intrinsically linked with my personality over the years, I think, who are bands who predate Joyzine, but I think were the band that got me down this kind of rabbit hole of listening to, music that isn't going to be played regularly on the radio, and that you have to really sort of seek out. And that's a Glaswegian band called Urusei Yatsura, who are also going to be on one of the compilations as well, which I'm extremely excited about. They're digging up an old demo or live recording or something for us. So yeah, they were kind of, I think, yeah, they were kind of a, how do you describe them? Kind of a geek rock band from the late 90s, really influenced by Sonic Youth and Pavement, but with a bit of a Scottish twist, I suppose.
I've
Big
never heard of
fans.
that. I'll have to check them out. That sounds
Yeah,
very interesting.
they were big fans of playing children's sort of laser gun toys through lots of effects pedals to create strange noises.
What about this year in terms of stuff that's come out this year? What's your favorite release this year?
Now that is a tricky one. I'd have to remember which things came out this year and which things were late last
It's
year.
hard, isn't it? Especially as you probably get sent things a few months early, don't you? So I'm sure there's a bit of an overlap sometimes.
Yeah, well, I think I'll give some a big up to a couple of local bands, I think, as we're South London based and do a lot of our shows around here. So two bands from this area, from sort of the New Cross, Lewisham kind of surroundings, Italia 90, who are a fantastic band with a great name as well,
Great name.
who do quite, I guess there've been a lot of bands that have come out in the kind of sort of talky shouty post-punk mold since Idols made it as big as they did. And I think Italia 90 are one of the bands who've taken that in a really interesting direction. Again, very politically engaged band as well. And Scrounge, who are a duo, they're going to be on the first compilation. In fact, they've given us a track from a session that they did for a YouTube channel. And again, just yeah, another very about they've had a lot of stuff engaged with the sort of cost of living crisis and things like that running through their music. And yeah, I love them so.
Two good recommendations there. You also cover films and books and things like that. What's the bit? Have you seen a good film this year? I know you've got a small child, so probably getting to the cinema is probably quite tricky, but have you seen anything that's really stuck with you this year?
I'm afraid, yeah, for that very reason, I've not got out to see many films. I've caught up on a few via DVDs and streaming services and things, so I can give you some slightly old recommendations.
Yeah, why not? Just ping a couple out, something that you've seen which has really stuck with you.
I guess one of the films that I've watched more recently that's really stuck with me is Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which is a just
Stunning.
beautiful and harrowing
Yeah.
and wonderful French film. But yeah, I'd have to get H, our film editor, on to give you some more up to date ones.
Yeah, no, that film's incredible. I thought it was absolutely jaw-dropping. Every it's one of those cliches that people say about films, but literally every shot you could hang it on your wall. It just looks incredible.
And it's a film that has very little music in it at all, but the couple of moments where there's just, you know, it floors you completely. But I mean, anything directed by Celine Sciamma, I would say, is something I'd just recommend checking out.
I've got a slightly cheesy question to end on, but I hope this lands okay. But if there's one artist that you think encapsulates Joyzine and one that you think encapsulates Hope Not Hate, what would they be, do you think?
Ooh. That's a tricky one.
I guess for the Joyzine one, I don't answer the question I've just thrown at you, but something independent minded, punk spirit, that kind of thing is what I'm getting from you, Paul. So
I guess Thomas Truax would definitely be up there. I don't know if you've come across him before, but he's I think I'm probably bigging us up a bit too much comparing us to him, but he is about as independent as minded as you can get, because he invents his own instruments. I'm not going to tell you too much, because everybody should go and see him live, and I don't want to give any. It's there aren't many bands that I'm worried about giving spoilers about. He's got a whole array of different instruments, mechanical contraptions that he's created that all make some kind of wonderful noise. And it's kind of parts, part music, part theatre. Going to see him, he's absolutely incredible, and somebody that we've featured regularly over the years. Lovely, lovely chap as well. And then I guess for a Hope Not Hate point of view, and I guess I could say De Furious, who we've got playing on the 19th. I think they're a band who, everything they do, they think very carefully about how they can get a political message across in a way that brings people in rather than pushes people away. And I think that's a very difficult balance to achieve.
Well, that's a fantastic note to end on, Paul. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you to you and to all the rest of your team for everything that you're doing. I don't live in London, so I won't be able to be there, unfortunately. But, I hope you have a fantastic weekend and that all goes well. And please do stay in touch.
Thank you very much. Yeah, well, we'll keep you updated with everything that's going on over the course of the year.
Definitely do. Speak soon, Paul. Take care.
Keep up the good work.
You too.